There's this commonality in watching incredibly brave soldiers do their work under insane, terrifying circumstances for normal human beings. They keep going. And the bombs are coming in, the bolts are coming in, they keep going, they keep communicating, they keep shooting and moving, they keep on plan. If the plan changes, they make a new one. If it falls apart, they use their training. And with people who are fighting for the faith, there's a commonality. That's, you know what it is? I was talking to a guy who's a combat veteran and asked him about going into those firefights. Like, what was the first feeling you got? And he said to me, gratitude. What? Yeah, we trained all our lives for this and we're going to go get to be in a shooting battle. America's being attacked. The right response from Christians, believe it or not, the way I read things, it's gratitude.
The Todd Herman Show is 100% disapproved by big pharma, technocrats, and tyrants everywhere. Now, from the high mountains of free America, here's the Emerald City Exile, Todd Herman.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. And in times like these, it's important that we take stock of our human instinct to respond on a fleshly basis to our country being attacked, because our country is being attacked. And there are people, and we've named names in the program more than other people will do. There are people who are attacking the country because they want to take it down. They want to rebuild it. There's multiple reasons for that. Multiple motives. Some people know they've raided the treasury, so they want to hide the theft. Other people know that nations run in cycles and they want to be on the top of the next cycle. Other people they hate the freedoms that we enjoy, or that we used to enjoy. And to some degree, those of us who refuse to, you know, take the knee to the party and only take the knee to God Almighty.
The only knee we take is to the Lord.
We see it differently because we still have the freedoms. We just know they're under attack. But this attack has the tendency for us to want to respond in a fleshly way. I was in a church meeting about a year ago with some people, and there's a guy there who's he's a combat vet, and he's ready to go. We've talked about this on the show before. He is ready to use his training. And he's ready to bring the sort of violence and disruption that guys like that are trained to do and do better than anybody on earth. And when bad people do bad things and these guys are loose and they're allowed to go do what they do, they can just clean up in 15 minutes. And I get it. And that's a fleshly desire. As we watch our country be torn apart. Purposely. I was talking to a guy who's done his, you know, three tours in Afghanistan. And I asked him, because I'm always curious. I as many people as I've been blessed to meet who've been in combat, or recently I've been blessed to meet a bunch of guys who are retired special forces for past 4 or 5 years, I've had very close friendships and in fact, partnerships with people in that line of work. And I asked this gentleman, you know, for normal people, getting shot at's freaky. And some of us, we'd find it flat scary. Like I love the Gene Hackman scene in Unforgiven. Having a gun pointed at people, just rattle some folks. Hot, ain't it? It'll just rattle some folks. And so I asked him, what's that like? Like, what's the feeling you have? Because I was wanted to hear, absolute focus, tunnel vision, just sticking to the plan, just envisioning what I'm going to do and how I'm going to lead my team. Just going. And now I just, you know what? First thing he said is gratitude. What? Gratitude. Train all our lives for this. And a lot of guys never get to be in a real good gunfight. Wow, that wouldn't be my response. Now, maybe if I had trained all those years and you know what? I don't think so. Maybe that says something really bad about me. Maybe it says I couldn't have ever done those things. Gratitude. And by the way, this is not a guy who goes around bragging about who he is or what he does. You wouldn't know it unless you asked him, and he might not even tell you. The last guy on earth who would go around bragging about something, which makes him doubly dangerous if people decide to mess with the quiet one. Whoops. Whoopsie. Wrong dude. So there's this commonality. Gratitude. You see, gratitude comes before perseverance, but perseverance, right, allows you to use your gratitude. Let me try to unfold that. That's quite a folded up map of a statement. What we're facing, the attack against public health officials, they're completely corrupted. The attack against our government schools, they are completely corrupted. The attack against our FBI, it is at the top, utterly corrupted. 99% of our media is corrupt. Now, fortunate thing, we've talked about, God is revealing this to us. I love that. I'm so thankful for the Lord doing that. It's so easy, like, to be a super good Christian when times are good, man. You can, oh, tithing, sure, yes, of course I tithe, and then some, and we give money, and we give time, and we're in these groups, and oh my goodness, yes, and I'm so grateful for the Lord. Look at what he's provided our family. We just got another car in a lake place, and the Lord has been so good to us. He's rewarded our good work, and yeah, but then, and man, I'm the worst at this. Just learning. I'm just a crawling little baby at this. The opportunity to actually use your faith like a soldier would use his tools. This training. All the steps they've taken to get to that point where they can kill people and break things in a just war because they were told to, and then come out alive, as many of them as they can, and never leave a brother behind. Well, what's our training? Well, our training is that we trust in God no matter what. Our training is, well, we already know who wins. Our training is some trust in chariots and horses, and we trust in God Almighty, and that's our training. And who are our models? You think now of the you know, soldiers in combat, and who are their models? Well, it was their drill instructors, the senior guys on the team who've been through this before. You watch the senior guys. You see what the senior guys do. You follow what the senior guys say to do because they're the ones who are still alive. You take orders because you stay alive that way. You work as a unit because that's how everybody comes home. I've heard this from countless guys. I asked another guy the other day, how do you get your team to trust you? He goes, I do the right thing every time. You do the right thing every time, every time. Even if it's a non-combat situation, if we're going through equipment check, I do it the right way every single time. Every single time my team sees me check my equipment, they see me do it the right way, step by step. I don't skip steps because they know if I'm skipping steps on my own equipment, I'm going to be skipping steps on theirs. Suddenly I'm skipping steps on planning. Every time I do the right thing and my team notices. And that's a difficult charge. But what if we're grateful? What if we're grateful for an opportunity to face an enemy like the party? Because the party is our enemy. Look, Pfizer is not our friend. Alex Berenson has another piece. And yes, I'm still very disappointed in Alex for the way he went after the way he went after a colleague on Fox. We've dealt with that. I don't want to just continue to drag Alex for that. He made the decision to do that. Alex Berenson is out with a story about something that Pfizer did back in the day. They created themselves a vaccine for cows, and they put it in the marketplace. And they've been telling us about the mRNA injections. Oh, don't worry. If there's going to be bad side effects, we're going to know immediately. It's not going to take a while. You'll know immediately if there's a bad side effect. We'll deal with that. Well, we know that's a lie. They're not dealing with it. They're hiding it. They're pretending it doesn't exist. They're trying to get the mobbed up FDA to hide them, hide their so-called research and so-called trial for 75 years. And people are going to get sick, and it's going to continue to sicken people, and it's going to continue to give people problems with their immune system and autoimmune deficiencies. And it's going to continue to do that because these spike proteins are poison to the body, and it takes forever to get them out of the body. All right, but what about the cows? Yeah, it turns out that when they released this vaccine for cows, it was to reduce diarrhea in cows. It caused a fatal bleeding disease, not in the cows, in their calves, their babies. This was to reduce diarrhea, not cancer, not deadly, messy, potentially deadly if the cow keeps having diarrhea, but treatable. And it turned out that it started killing their calves. And as this was going on, they kept, according to Alex Berenson, they kept selling this stuff. As the German government investigated, Pfizer denied responsibility and kept selling the vaccine. Guess who was responsible for the development of that vaccine? Albert Beria. Does he sound familiar?
Well, the first two shots have little, if any, effect on COVID. However, the booster, it does not stop transmission or infection, but it prevents hospitalization or serious death. We're working on a fourth booster that is does that, plus it cleans floors and can mop up after a diarrhea spilled from a cow.
Same guy. Not a friend. This company is not our friend, and the people who pretend it's our friend are our enemy. Man, I'm grateful that the Lord has cautioned us about putting our trust in men. I'm grateful that the Lord has us looking out for people of lies. I'm grateful that the Lord has made us grateful for our immune systems and that we will not put up with a lie that they do not exist. Most of all, I'm grateful for my faith that the Lord's going to conquer this, that he is stronger than this, that through him, through prayer with him, we will weather this. That we now get to see what it's like when the people of God come together and refuse to fold to this type of evil? Because in my judgment, you know, what we're seeing with the party and the behaviors of the party is going to require this perseverance. I don't think you can persevere if you're not initially grateful. I mean, you only persevere for something you're glad you have. If you're not glad you have it, you're not going to persevere to keep it. Now, you can persevere to keep your life because it's precious to you and you're afraid to die in the great darkness and will I exist? And what if you just know you're going to God? What if you just know that? You're going to persevere? You know what? Just take me. I'm going to go to the Lord. There's a temptation in that. But then again, it's God's to decide when we go. And so that way we persevere, because what I see in the heart of the history of God, I see perseverance. I see God persevering in trying to get his family back together. At the center of the work of Lord Jesus in his mission on earth as a human being, fully human, fully God, I saw him persevere. through times of no food, little food, of no place to sleep, no place for the Son of Man to lay his head, I saw perseverance and happy perseverance all the way up to and including being beaten, spit upon. They attempted to humiliate him, the sort of death he died, and all the way up to the resurrection. There was perseverance. Thomas, look at me. Touch. Go ahead. Put your finger in my wound. This is me. I'm Jesus. See the wound? All of his apostles got to persevere. And I said, got to. They got to do it. When Peter delivered the founding sermon, he's the guy who'd said,
that's another Jesus. I'm talking about, no, the guy you saw me with, he looks like the guy, but Nazareth? No, that's in Texas. I've never been to
three times. And then there he is in the book of Acts delivering the founding sermon of the church. They had the duty and the honor to follow their Savior and our Savior. And look, I mean this with all love and humility, because goodness knows people who lead churches have done far more than I. But the American church in total, the American Christian church in total, I think it may have been leaning over into lazy. It's sort of like I was thinking about how to describe this, and so I wrote something down. It's like the polite boy who gets friend-zoned by the girl that God wants him to marry. But no, he's going to allow himself to be friend-zoned because he's way too polite to say, could we go to a movie? Or scared. So the church that offended both Rome and the Jews, because it did, offended pagans and Gentiles. Now, it's kind of a beige wall of smiling faces in the crowd of the world with espresso machines. And I am not downing churches with espresso machines, because we have one at our church. And you can have those and be a great Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, disciple-making church. But right now, as Americans are under attack, Christians have been gifted with times such as these where they can fully experience faith. Because I don't know that you can fully experience faith when the cupboards are filled and the cars are being bought and college is paid off and the country is operating like the country was designed. I don't know that you can fully experience faith that way. I don't know that you fully use your tools and training. It's like I talk to the guys who've been in combat, and look, the training is, man, we've seen it. Those of us, that is 95% of us, who've never done anything like what these guys have done, we go watch the movies of the guys going through the SEAL training, or less so, they don't really do movies about with the, I guess they do, Green Beret, other special forces. You watch the training and you're going, I don't think I could make that. We see the drill instructors running around going, hey guys, look, if you're not going to make it, it's okay. Just ring out. The bell's right there. There's coffee and donuts over there, guys. And they're begging to have you ring out. I have buddies of mine who do that to me in workouts and to get in my heads. And the good thing I had a psychotic wrestling coach, so I'm used to that. Herman, look, you're in your 50s. It's okay, dude. Drop out. Ring out. You're not going to make this, man. You cannot do this. And you look at that training, and yet it's not combat. There is going to be an end time. They're not going to attempt to kill you. Hurt you? Okay. Push you over your edge? Mm-hmm. Break you? Yep. Kill you? No, they'll save you. In combat, the other people intend to take your life forever. Now you're using your training. They're attacking our kids. They want to separate families. They're getting our kids addicted to pharmaceuticals, psychotropic pharmaceuticals. They have destroyed a generation of children's ability to understand human emotion, and they're still doing it. They're stealing from kids' social interactions. They have crushed and stolen the assets of 40% of small businesses. They have illegally used your taxpayer money to purchase corporate debt, $600 billion worth illegally. They are specifically drawing criminals into the city and letting them destroy things. It's so easy to say, we've lost. Or I get to use my faith. I get to know what it's like to see God go to work. in a time such as these. And gratitude? What's something that God offers us all? Grace. Gratitude and grace, right? Hey, if you don't know, one of our service providers provides our email platform. I haven't decided if I'm going to name it yet. You can figure out who it is. They don't like some of the emails we send. This is just a sign of things to come, guys. We are saying things that are not to be said. So one of the things you can do to help us, you've seen Spotify stand by Joe Rogan. God bless Spotify for doing this. I know they've got major investment in Joe Rogan. There's a reason Rogan's become so popular. That's because Rogan doesn't bow to anybody. And he'll take on the left, the right, the middle, anybody. And so Joe's podcast is the biggest media thing in the world. Ours isn't. And that's okay, because ours has a different mission, completely about spreading the word of God with politics at the edges. But one of the things you can do to help us is rate the podcast. Honestly, giving the podcast high ratings gives platforms like that the courage to stand by us. And as we look for distribution partners for the program, because we're paying some money for that right now, that makes it easier. And if you leave comments, even that helps specifically if you leave positive comments. So could you do that for us? We would truly appreciate it. It won't take that much time and it will really, really help. I can't claim credit for this thought because it's not mine. It comes from a book called Real Life Theology, Fuel for Effective and Faithful Disciple Making. And I matched it with some quotes from Hebrews that's actually in the chapter I'm reading, that this relates to what we're talking about, this gratitude. This is from Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's so easy to become tired. It's so easy to lose heart. It's so easy to become lazy in the good times and in the bad times to lose heart. It's so easy to go through this. And the posture of gratitude is to say, Lord, I've read your work my whole life. I've been raised in your church, or I'm new to your church, or I'm new to my faith, and I can't wait to practice it. And so we begin practicing it by, like we talked about yesterday, we talked about praying the way that we vote. Check. We're going to pray the way that we vote. You know what we're else going to do? We're going to be seen in the world. We are not going to be the people cloistered and hiding away in our buildings and churches. We don't want people to see the buildings. We want people to see the people. We want to be the people in the community. And when we're in the community, we want to speak the name of God. It's not about marketing with God. It's not about glad handing with God. It is about treating people nicely and making it known that we are Christian people so that they see this. Make it known in a natural way. Hey, God bless you. Hey, you know what? I had the opportunity the other day. I could tell it made two people really nervous. It really did. I had some work done at my house. The man that came explained that he had it's a very scary sounding health problem. He's put off treating it and he shouldn't be putting it off. It sounds very serious. And I said to him, brother, I want to pray for you. And I could tell it made him uncomfortable. And I just said, hey, you know what? That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to pray for you. That's it. And I didn't turn it into proselytizing. And I just hope that as he drove away, he's thinking, wow, that guy barely knows me. He's going to pray for me. He might be thinking, I'm a judgmental Christian. He's going to pray for me. What does he know? I don't know what caused the problem. I had an opportunity at a store I go to all the time. We're in a little tiny town. We know everybody. And this gentleman's got a real serious health thing going on. And I told him as well, brother, I'm going to pray for you. And he actually said, wow, thank you. Wow, thank you. 50-50, not bad. And I'm not saying it's heroic because it's God's work. It's not mine, but it is putting it in public. And part of the gratitude is to share what we have and to put it in public. And part of not being lazy then is to follow up on these things, to come back and say, hey, I've been praying. How is it? I got to see him the other night. How is it? Still bad. I'm still praying. Hey, have you taken this step? And look, I'm not going to bug you, but I had these great results at this hospital with my sinuses. Those are such minor little things. We all are so disturbed at the teachers who've been fired, and the doctors who've been fired, and the nurses who've been fired, and the soldiers who've been fired, and the firefighters. Have we found it in our hearts yet to reach out to them and say, I am here, do you need any food? I am here, do you need any work? Our church has abundant resources. Please come. There's a gentleman, I can't wait to meet him. He's the son of a listener. I can't wait. He is a EMS guy since youngest age possible, left the craft, left the profession because he will not get injected. He's now living in free America and he wants to get to know some people. I can't wait to meet this guy because I feel like God put us together. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to meet with a guy who has saved so many lives and just to sit and say, hey, there's some people at my church or there's a hospital starting or maybe you talked about starting a private EMS service. Maybe we should do that. Maybe I should try to help you get that going. Whatever it is, we get to have this gratitude because we get to do these things in this time, in the time in which God has had us live because he decided you are going to live in this time. You with the headphones on, you with the earbuds in, you listening as you drive. God picked you for this moment in this time. And what have we done today to show our gratitude so that we're not lazy? Because the activity of the Christians being visible, doing what we've been trained to do, that is caring for the least of these, that is visiting people in prison and in the hospitals and providing food for the hungry. That's what turns us around because it's not just the faith. And here's the thing that I learned this morning in this book. I love this so much. God provides us grace and we get faith. And by faith, we get grace. But they provide this example. The grace God provides to us is like oxygen. What good is oxygen if you have no lungs? Our faith are the lungs that take in God's grace. When we breathe in oxygen, it provides energy to our body so we're animated and we can do things. When we take in God's grace with our faith, it animates us to be able to do things. Because right now we are facing evil. And the darkness could not overcome it. And that's what we've been trained. That's how we've been trained. The darkness is creeping in. It's creeping in the high places. People are saying things and they're being completely honest. And the things that are slipping out. The guy who owns the basketball team, the Warriors, is Golden State, right? California? He just said something so utterly honest. It's breathtaking. And I'm watching him speak. This is the first time I've seen him speak. I want to be completely fair. And he's being really honest. You know what else he's doing? He's speaking the world's language, baby. Focused. Talking top line and bottom line. What's in my target zone? What's outside my target zone? Because you know what? Every day I wake up, there's three things I'm going to do. Three big changes I'm going to make. I am a CEO, people, process, perception. I'm going to work on one of the P's today or all three, but I'm only three things because I am the biggest picture of the big picture, dude. Love it. You feed a lot of families doing that. You can build a lot of wealth and that wealth can be good, used for good or for bad, but it can also eat you up and make you a monster. All the numbers, all the spreadsheets, all the success, all the wealth, it can make you say monstrous things when you're just being honest. So he goes on to this podcast. It's on YouTube. I have a link to it here. And they're having this sort of long discussion. Insurrection indictments, human rights in the U.S. and abroad. Bestie intro, Freeberg prepares for the insurrection. Okay, so here we go. This is the owner of the Warriors. And he's speaking in his best, I am honestly assessing the situation CEO way. His name is Chamath Polipetitia. Probably said that the wrong way. I do not follow the NBA. Listen closely to this man's statement of honesty.
Nobody cares about nobody cares about what's happening to the Uyghurs, okay? You bring it up because you really care. And I think that's nice that you care. The rest of us don't care. I'm just telling you a very hard...
Wait, you're saying you personally don't care?
I'm telling you a very hard, ugly truth, okay? Of all the things that I care about, yes, it is below my line. Okay? Of all the things that I care about, it is below my line.
Disappointing.
It's below his line. Now, before we indict, let's assess. He's being honest. But is he being grateful? Has he accepted grace? Kenny. I didn't know a thing about this gentleman until I read about his background from his own statement. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to learn from him and to look and ask God to scan me and find any areas in my life where I'm like this and stomp it out. This isn't some of the shows that I worry about, to be honest with you, because I don't think we've talked politics on this episode, have we? I think we have. I get worried. See, I have faith that God's growing the show and that you guys are sharing the show with 10 friends. But I'll just be frank with you. This is the stuff that, you know, you take this to a program director in radio, be like, no, let's take that to the gospel station. Yep, let's take that. And hey, you know what? He should do that in a church basement, but really early Sunday mornings, like at 6:15, because I don't want my kids hearing it. I'm just being honest. So the owner of the Warriors responded. He put out a tight little message. In re-listening to this week's podcast, I recognize that I come across as lacking empathy. I acknowledge that entirely. As a refugee, my family fled a country with its own set of human rights issues. So this is something that is very much part of my lived experience. To be clear, my belief is that human rights matter, whether in China, the United States, or elsewhere. Full stop. Oh, really? NBA, you still going to take your club over there and play with the Chinese Communist Party? Really? Human rights matter. Brother, you were honest.
Nobody cares about nobody cares about what's happening to the Uyghurs, okay?
You were honest. Now you're not. You see, for us, and I don't know this man's faith. I guess I could look it up. I'm guessing it's not Christian. I could be wrong. If I am, forgive me. The grace that God offers us is oxygen. The faith, that's the lungs necessary to breathe in the oxygen. But the activity we undertake, it's a sign of whether we're getting healthy air or fully taking the grace in. Or better said, whether our lungs are healthy. See, because you can be, and forgive me, my dad smoked his whole life. I am not judging people who smoke. I wish you wouldn't. I deeply wish you wouldn't. It's the enemy. It's big pharma enemy. But you can impact your lungs a number of ways. Smoking is one of them. Goodness knows you work in the deep mind. Sometimes that has really affected people's lungs. Anyways, there's lots of ways to get your lungs affected. If your lungs are not healthy, you can breathe in the purest of oxygen and not get it in because your lungs can't metabolize it, or the sacs in your lung are filled with fluids if you have pneumonia or the COVID flu, things like this. And that's what happens. If our faith is not strong, right, that can be like that. Our faith is impacted. If you're breathing in as fast as you can, but your lungs are just not healthy, you can breathe as much as you want, but you can't get enough oxygen to do anything. And this is like at the end of a workout, like something that's really, really, you know, maximally metabolic. It's just stretching your energy systems. At the end of that, we used to do this to ourselves. I had a friend of mine I used to work out with, and it was fun. We would get super metabolic. So we're talking about 178, 188 heart rate. And we'd sustain that as long as we could. And then we'd ask each other math questions, simple things, 3 times 3. And you go, what? And yeah, we stole this from the special forces. You bet we did. Both stole it from some of the YouTube things. 3 times 3, and you're thinking that the hardest, well, what's that, 33? No, it's not 33. 3 times 3. Multiply. 3 times 3. 19. No, it's not. It's 9. And now your brain's not working because you're breathing so hard and you've surpassed your aerobic capacity. You just have to recover. You just have to slow down. And then, oh, I can't believe it. I said 33. It's 9. Yes, it's 9. And this is what happens when our faith is polluted. This is what happens when our faith is polluted. Man, God can be showing us. Beloveds, they're naked in front of you. Your emperors are naked. They seek to take your kids from you. They seek to trans your boys and girls. They seek to make children angry, sex-addicted little sex bots. They're doing it in front of you, beloveds. Do you have so little faith that you can't pull your kids out of these monstrous government facilities? Do you not trust that I will care for your families? Man, this is a hard one for me. I'm so disappointed in Prudential Insurance, I consider them thieves. I consider them to have stolen a life insurance policy from us. And when the life insurance policy was stolen, you bet, I went to go look for another one. I intend to have my family taken care of. And on the other hand, as I'm going through that, this fear in my heart, I could hear Father God saying, wow, huh, so I'm just going to let your family rot. Don't you know I'll take care of them? Don't you know I've given you the resources to have life insurance? Don't you know I've given you the resources to have a home? Don't you know I love them in ways you can't? So to practice our faith is to completely remove our children from those government facilities. And to come together as Christians and to educate them. And if you can't teach 5 days a week, find 5 hours in a homeschool co-op where you can teach. And if you can't find that time, help them with the bookkeeping. And if you can't do that, help them keep up the facilities. And if you can't do that, give money. If you can't do that, make sandwiches. Fully activating our faith is to look at what the party is doing to our children and not let it happen anymore. To have healthy faith is to know, yes, wow, homeschooling is going to be a challenge. I'm going to need help. Gosh, where could we get that? If we drop to our knees in prayer to have the help to do the homeschooling, I wonder who would provide it. Fully activating our faith to be grateful for an opportunity to say, my goodness, the Lord has delivered us a homeschool co-op. The Lord has delivered us a collection of Christian parents who are schooling the kids all the way through high school. The Lord has delivered to North Idaho a hospital that's going to be based on, they can't call it a hospital, it's going to be a treatment center, but it's going to be based, it's going to be founded upon religious liberties. It's going to be founded upon medical freedom. And there's $6 million in donations that have come in and they didn't even ask for them. And people are donating land and buildings. And God is at work and he's saying, yeah, let's look, your faith is strong. I see it. Let's reward you with this. You're going to honor the creation, those I've created in my image. You're not going to force them to use aborted fetal tissues. You're not going to force them to undertake operations that fly in the face of the beings that I designed and I love so much that I've been on an everlasting quest to reunite my family with perseverance and with grace and rewarding your faith and helping you to grow your faith. And this is the gratitude that we have. You have an opportunity to test this. You're a firefighter. You have firefighter friends who've been fired. Are you starting a private EMS service? Are you gathering your firefighting friends together to say, let us pray that the Lord will use our talents. Let us pray together that the Lord will present to us what's next. the opportunity to test your faith. Lord, what are you going to do with me? I've got 40 men here, 40 men, men and women fired from being firefighters. You know what we are? We are on time. You know what we do? We walk into buildings that are burning when other people walk out. You know what we do? We save lives. You know what we do? We stay settled in the storm. You know what we do? When we show up and there's a big emergency, we're the ones with the calm hearts and the gratitude we get to use our training. Have you gathered to ask the Lord, what's next for us? Father, what's next? The enemy will not expect this. The ultimate enemy will fear it. The party will not be able to adjust to it. And what does it take? It takes that we're not lazy. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We want to remember the people who faced serious opposition, such as being beheaded and burned in oil and used as lamps. Hebrews 12:3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The truth is coming out. God is unpeeling the layers of lies. And that's also a result of faith. So what would it look like if we vote like we pray and we act with faith? I'm going to guess because it's only a guess. Hey, please do take an opportunity, if you haven't done this. I don't want to tell them I'm asking for this. Well, I guess they both listen. If you get an opportunity to thank Dave and Julie for working on the podcast, will you do that? They put in so much time. They're such happy warriors. Such good servants of God. Work so hard on this program. So I'll just take the lead on that. Thank you, Dave and Julie. We've learned something about Ashley Babbitt, courtesy of the Epoch Times. The video evidence from January 6th shows that she was trying to stop the vandalism. She had put her body between rioters who were vandalizing and the things they were vandalizing. She was yelling at them to stop. Don't do this. She tried to stop them from breaking into the door. Jaden X, John Sullivan, who bragged about being a member of Black Lives Matter Incorporated and Antifa offshoots. And I think specifically he said, I'm a Black Lives Matter organizer. You know, he got paid for this footage. You know, he got released. And then when people figured out he got released, finally, I think the FBI said, oh, we better arrest him. Remember that? He was the single Black Lives Matter Incorporated Antifa guy there. There were no others anywhere, ever. He took the video. And this footage shows that at least four times before she climbed into a broken window and got shot by Michael Byrd, who said that he acted very, very bravely. At one point, she was so distressed at the violence, she jumped up and down in frustration. And you can see in the video where she was just begging people to stop. And her husband describes her as being trapped. She's trapped in this corner, and now she felt that her life was at danger. And what they assess, what her husband assesses, is she was trying to crawl in the window. More frightening than that, earlier in the footage, she, who of course served her country for 14 years in the Air Force, was actually chatting with the cops. That doesn't sound like someone who believes that they have broken an entering. She was chatting with the cops, the Capitol Hill police. She was talking with them in a friendly way. And later, Michael Byrd would kill her without warning, an unarmed woman. And we watched that. Now, this news is out. The video exists. The Epoch Times has analyzed it. Is anyone else? The faith that we have is that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God cannot lie. Lies cannot outlast God. Liars cannot hide in their house of lies forever. God will loose the truth. It's been loosed. We need to vote for Republicans who are willing to stand for truth. And what would that look like? What it would look like is a house cleaning. What it would look like is an assessment system. What it would look like is people who join the office and are going to go in and see that Fauci is fired because he's a liar. And the FDA is destroyed because it's a lying institution that's become a pharmaceutical company, as has the CDC, that's going to go in and say, we're investigating Black Lives Matter, every inch of it, every centimeter of it. And incidentally, Susan Rosenberg, the terrorist who blew up a bomb in 1983 in the Senate chambers, she's raising money for a terrorist group. We're going to call for her rearrest right now because she's raising money for a terrorist group. We're going to go through and find out who funds Antifa because they are killing people. Thou shalt not murder. We're going to bring to account the executives at Planned Parenthood who sell baby parts in violation of federal law because they're lying, because they're doing it in the darkness. We're going to stop any medical experimentation with confused children because it's brutalizing them. It's separating them from their families and it's separating them from accepting the body in which God put them. That's part of what it would look like. It would look like people saying in DC, it would look like new members saying, hey, why did I just get a bunch of milk delivered to my office and fresh flowers? Who's paying for that? Oh, the taxpayers. No, stop that. Never do that again. Why? Because I'm to be a steward of the people's money. Why? Because this money belongs to God. Because these taxes are coming from people at force who do this because they respect leadership and they respect government. This is not wise stewardship. I can't defend this in the face of God. How could I do this? Never send fresh. I'll buy my own milk. I make $175,000 a year. It would look like that. It would look like a bunch of new members standing up and saying, wait.
Chair does not recognize the gentleman from Idaho. I don't care. No one's read this garbage.
Kevin, there's 100,000 pages here. No one's read.
The gentleman will sit down.
No, I won't. No, kick me out. I have one ultimate authority, Kevin. It's God Almighty. I tried to bring this. You know, the gentleman will suspend. No, I will not. I tried to bring this to you earlier, Kevin. No one's read this stuff. No, anyone in here voting yes is lying. Because you're voting on something you haven't read. You're all lying. The gentleman will suspend, the House security, the arms, sergeant at arms will escort the gentleman out. Fine, escort me out. I'll vote outside. It would look like that. It would look like people during a hearing with the Treasury Secretary would say, we're bankrupt, yes or no?
A nation that folds.
Stop. Here's the definition of bankrupt. For a private entity. We're that, right? That's what it would look like. And it would look like prayer meetings. I had a congresswoman tell me once that Nancy Pelosi feverishly crossed herself before voting to make everybody pay for abortions. True story. The woman stood in the corner of the House of Representatives because, you know, she's a devout Catholic and feverishly made the cross of Christ before forcing every American taxpayer to pay $1 per year to kill babies. Did Planned Parenthood need the $1 per year from all of us? No. But the party needed us to be complicit. We're going to end forever the stale debate over a woman's right to choose. A stale debate. I'm so grateful that we get a time to find out how good our lungs are. And if we can run with endurance the race that is set before us, if God will give us the strength. This is the Todd Herman Show. So appreciate you sharing it with all your friends through email. It's a potent way to grow the program, the most potent. Now, please do. Go be well, be strong, be kind, and absolutely be right with God.